Blog Talk Radio.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. You can't get cherry soda, 'cause they've got to fill that quota, and the way things are, I'll bet they never will. They've got a zillion tons of coffee in Brazil. No tea or tomato juice, you'll see. No potato juice, 'cause the planners down in Santa's all say no, no, no. The politician's daughter was accused of drinking water and was fined the great big $50 bill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. Like a percolator, her perfume was made right on the grill. Why, they could percolate the ocean in Brazil. And when their ham and eggs need savor, coffee ketchup gives them flavor. Coffee pickles way outsell the dill. Why, they put coffee in the coffee in Brazil. No tea, no tomato juice, you'll see. No potato juice. The planters down in Santa's all say no, no, no. So you'll add to the local color, serving coffee with a cruller. Dunkin' doesn't take a lot of skill. They've got an awful lot of coffee, an awful lot of coffee. Man, they got a gang of coffee in Brazil.
And that's what he said. Hi, Pam. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And you never know, hopefully a Twisted Mister or two. Just so everybody's aware, Naomi is not feeling well tonight. So Pam and I are going to do the coffee spectacular. I don't know what to call it. Anyway, hi, Pam. How are you tonight?
I am doing good. I was wondering about Naomi. I'm sorry to hear that she's not feeling well, and I hope she gets some much-needed rest and feels better soon. I am doing well myself. The weather's a little chilly, but nothing to complain about. I've had it be far worse in March before, so especially the beginning of March.
Right.
Yep. And my son, my second oldest, Gideon, came to visit me today, and took me grocery shopping, and then we came back to the apartment, and I made that Hungarian mushroom soup for us, and
oh,
I picked up a loaf of Bakehead bread. Oh, it was a delicious lunch. I mean, and that's really all we had. We had the Bakehead bread with butter and the Hungarian mushroom soup, and it was just filling enough.
That's some good soup, I have to say.
It is. It is, absolutely. And really one of the best for, if you decide you want to go with a meatless Monday or whatever, a meatless Tuesday, you know.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they had ham on sale for only $1.69 a pound, so I'll be thinking up things to do with ham. And, life is good. Now, how about you? How are you doing? Now that I've blathered on about myself.
well, I can't keep up with that, you know. Is a everybody here is kind of under the weather, except my grandson. My son's sick as
well.
Oh,
goodness.
His girlfriend has some kind of sinus thing going on. I've been coughing since yesterday. I'm like, oh, no, I just did a month. You know, I've done my time for a while. So I'm hoping that, you know, it was just, we were sanding a bit the other day. So maybe that's what got me started. I don't know. But
it
I'm not
could be.
Dust
and sanding, yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, it was a, well, we got big projects going on around here a little at a time. So it's kind of funny, actually. But it's okay. I'm in. I'm ready, you know. But, yeah, and I tried to keep a mask on, but, you know, I don't know. It's crazy. It is crazy. So she had a horrible sinus headache yesterday and today. And then today I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, I've been coughing since yesterday, on and off. Kind of a stupid dry cough, I guess, as you can hear.
Yep.
But my son was in bed. I mean, he was down. And then next thing you know, he was like, I'll spare you all the details. But he definitely was not feeling well.
So I feel bad.
I hate to see that. But there's only so much you can do.
Exactly.
Give them Dayquil and give them ginger ale and, you know.
That was always my thing when my kids were sick. You know, it was like, okay, I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to pick you up ginger ale, saltine crackers, and, you know, chicken noodle soup and tea.
Yep.
I love bringing people tea who are sick. Like, if anybody ever lives in the same house as me, it's guaranteed that if they're sick, I will be bringing them a cup of tea.
Absolutely. Well, he did have tea, which I almost fell over when his girlfriend said, I gave him some tea.
Wow.
And she said, and he was drinking it. And I went, oh, that's something. Especially probably not feeling well. And then, he didn't really want anything. He was drinking water. And, he told me, call up and order dinner. Here's the card number. I said, okay, whatever. And I said, what do you want? He goes, I don't think I really want anything. I said, well, what do you think you might get a hankering for? So I ordered something. I ordered a big bottle of ginger ale. I have saltines in the house, but he's just not really into eating right now. So, you know, like I say, this too shall pass. That's the way I...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, we're just having a good old time. Oh, and there is Errant Panther and Puddles. And we'll say
yes. Yep, and Quicken.
I haven't seen him yet. My thing is not advancing like normal.
You know what? I think that's happening to everybody because it's happening to Q, it's happening to me, and I would guarantee that Errant and Puddles are also having the same problem.
Yeah, so it's very frustrating, you know.
It
really
is.
Stop and think to, you know, hit the refresh button and everything else. God forbid it should just work the way it's supposed to. You know, it gets frustrating. But I still don't see. Oh, hello, Q. There you are. Yeah, he's having trouble too. It says, but it's all good. You know, just trying to keep myself unconfused. Amen to that. I don't know about a bit, Errant. I mean, when I signed on. Or when I came back over, I was sitting in, like, this afternoon's messages, I think. I don't know. It was weird. But it's okay. I guess when you know it, that's half the battle. You know, you just kind of get used to refreshing and things. So we've got a good bit of poetry tonight. We have a lot of really short pieces, you know.
We did. Those were obviously the people who didn't drink enough coffee. They fell asleep halfway through writing it home.
Oh, and by the way, thank you for the intro tonight. That was a good choice, I think. You know,
Yeah, I was surprised how many songs there actually are about coffee. You know, I Googled it and I came across that list that I sent you, 55 top songs about coffee.
Yes, yes. Oh my gosh, how true, how true. And we have,
and I just love that. I, you know, and I love Frank Sinatra, and I thought that was just so catchy.
Right. And we have 7 audios tonight. 7.
That is good. I think if there is, I'm kind of hoping, fingers crossed, maybe we'll have somebody call in and join us. But if not, knowing that we have about 6 audios really helps.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I hope you're seeing 7. Because I see 7. Just saying.
7? Oh, it probably is 7 then. Sorry. Yeah.
That's okay. I'm a little nervous. I'm like, oh my God, did something not work right? Because that's the story of my life. Did something not work
right?
Oh, God. Yeah. So, any of you.
Oh, this one's funny. Sorry. Check this out. Aaron Panther says in LNP, it's not brevity tonight. They're espresso shots.
Yeah, there you go. There is the way to look at it. Always look on the bright side of life. Yes, yes, yes. Quicken wrote a sad one. That's okay. We'll forgive you. Ed Puddles feels like the Who down in Hoover. Oh, my God. Well, that's okay. We're glad to have all 3 of you out there, and anybody else who wanders in that I don't see because of the delay, just forgive me. I will catch up eventually. Pam will let me know. She always lets me know when I'm screwing up. I just wanted to say that. Y'all will know it's true. What can you do, right? Oh, my gosh. So, I don't know. Just, I was looking at the board today, or the contest board. I'm going, okay, and I start moving things over. And, you know, inevitably there's people who don't give you any kind of permissions, and I just went, you know, I'm not really begging anybody today. I think I asked one, and then I gave up asking. So I was glad to see we had a full board anyway. That always makes me feel
absolutely.
Yeah. So, but the SoundCloud really made me smile because I like that. I think it always sounds good. I know. Excuse me. If we run short on poetry, I know Pam Ray has about 4,700. Coffee.
Oh, yeah, right. Something like that.
I don't think I have one personally. I don't think so. But it's okay. Pam does. So I knew this was right.
Yeah. Like I said the other day, I think I have at least 15 writes that either are directly about coffee or at least mention coffee.
Yes. And we already did the decaf one. This is all about the hard stuff. Yes, 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 yes. And we know Aaron has the espresso shots going on. That's what he was doing last night, night before. He was doing espresso shots when he was writing a poem, I believe. But, yeah.
I believe it.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so far, it's still you and me. And I wasted like 13 minutes of the show just chattering away like I do. So I guess we should get the party started. And I think that sounds good, don't you?
I think so. I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm going to take them right in a row. So we'll see what happens here. But the first one is by Owen Nichols. And this one has an audio. It's called The Coffee Mirror by Owen Nichols.
The Coffee Mirror by Owen Nichols. Are you what you drink? A 2SM, ready in an instant and a great all-rounder? A flat white, level-headed and straightforward. A cappuccino, a frothy little number with a sprinkle of delight. A macchiato, small, dark with a dash of colour. An affogato, dark and black until a sweet scoop melts, sweetening and lightens your dark heart. An espresso, small but a full-bodied character. a latte, a bit showier than a flat white, but a little less body. A Vienna goes one better than a cappuccino with a tall wig of extra wickedness. A hazelnut, a little bit nutty, but very sweet. A decaf, full-bodied without the muscle. A half-calf decaf with a twist. Really? You need help. Seriously. The list goes on and on. Which coffee am I? My coffee is large, dark and bitter, like my soul. Note, a 2SM is an instant coffee with two sugars and milk.
Audio. Great audio. Oh my goodness, that was good. I like that. I love how he listed out all the different types of coffee because, you know, honestly, I'm kind of clueless, I have to say. I just take, you know, I take my coffee with some hazelnut creamer and I'm done. But, so I'm kind of boring compared to all these choices. But yeah, I love how he worded them all out. An affogato, dark and black and sweet scoop milk, sweetening and lightens your dark heart. That was good. That was good. But down here, which coffee am I? My coffee is large, cold, dark and bitter like my soul. Instant coffee with two sugars and milk. Okay, we got this. It's good stuff. I like how that references back up here. It's ready in an instant and a great all-rounder. Yeah, I thought this was pretty clever, actually. Because, you know, there's all kinds of, well, I think through the years we've all seen a lot of things on coffee, and I think this really sums the whole thing up. And, you know, when you get down to the bottom of this poem, we could all put ourselves into this poem and just change out that last line. Which one is it? So I thought it was clever and really well done. Really well done. So how about you,
Pam? Oh, I like this one. Yeah, I like how he lists so many different ones. I usually do just drink plain black coffee myself. That end line really cracked me up with the dark humor. My coffee is large, cold, dark, and bitter like my soul. I do occasionally, though, like to indulge in a macchiato, like if I go to a coffee shop. But you know, all the way through, there's just great references and wonderful, wonderful coffee humor. And a half cap decaf with a twist. Really? You need help. Seriously. Those were some great lines and very well done.
Come on, Pam. You got another sentence or two in you. Just kidding.
Another sentence or two. Okay, well, Owen, thank you very much for sharing your amazing coffee right. Love your humor. Love your reading voice. You know, and it's all just fun, nutty, sweet, and wonderful, wicked darkness. Very well done.
It was good, fam. Very good. Thank you. You bought me just enough time.
Well, there you go.
I have to do these things. absolutely. But the coffee mirror, that was clever. I liked it very much. Now, 47 clicks.
Oh, and I see Robbie came into the room. So, hello, Robbie. Good to see you.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Yep, it's always good to see Robbie. And, Yep. All kinds of good stuff happening here today. Yeah, okay. So let me see now. I have another piece by Erin Panther. And this is, by the way, Owen and Erin put theirs up prior to the contest being open to pre-write. So I have to make sure that I message Owen and tell him, hey, I got a space, you know. I hope he puts it in. And Erin wrote a new piece for tonight, so I appreciate that as well. So this piece, the next one, is called Permeations by Erin Panther. And we do have another audio for this one, Pam. We have two for
Permeations by Erin Panther. So much for being attuned to the solace of being. When excerpts of unwritten memoirs dance their folly in those dead hours, where sleep becomes an afterthought with the 3 a.m. permeations, as a muse tests its penchant for unauthorized arias. The elusiveness of dreaming countered by the wasteland of empty coffee-stained mugs and the loose sensation of coherence within a mind growing ever so used to such disturbances. Pages rise and fall under the shadow of moonlight, seemingly ambitious in its attempts to demand the same alertness derived from daylight. And yet here we sit, keyboards being stroked tenderly, as though it has become a surreptitious bow, however we may deny such reality. Incantations render themselves futile until the voice within is satisfied, our dutiful fingers have inscribed our hearts once again upon dusty pages. Then, finally left alone to reach into the arms of slumber, weary heads meeting pillows just as the sun begins to rise, eyes rolling derisively at the invasiveness of light, and yet we know that the other side of us, that sane part, must carry on as if all is normal. End poem.
Great piece, Eric. That was really a great write there. And Pam, you want to start us off on this one?
Sure, no problem. Yeah, as always, a wonderful read by Aaron. Brilliant pages and or phrases throughout, wonderful imagery and metaphors. I really like how I think for many of us who, you know, overindulge in coffee and then find our mind awake and lively, you know, at 3 a.m. and the poetic muse dancing around. I really like the phrase 3 a.m. permeation, where sleep becomes an afterthought with 3 a.m. permeations as a muse tests its penchant for unauthorized arias. You know, muses seem to be like that. They want to work on their time, not on ours. Pages rise and fall under the shadow of moonlight, seemingly ambitious in its attempts to demand the same alertness derived from daylight. And yet here we sit, keyboard being stroked tenderly as though it had become a serendipitous bow, however we may deny such reality. Really just amazing lines all the way through. And I like how he takes us through the mindset of a poet at 3 a.m. whose one obsession is getting out the words that has permeated their mind. So very well done.
Very good. Very good comment, Pam. Very good. I thought this was an awesome write by her. Great stanzas throughout the piece. I thought it was well stated and nicely expressed. And I liked the first two stanzas because I thought he really led us into the piece nicely. So much for being attuned to the solace of being. When excerpts of unwritten memoirs dance their folly in those dead hours, where sleep becomes an afterthought with a 3 a.m. permeation, as a muse tests its penchant for unauthorized arias. The elusiveness of dreaming counted via the wasteland of empty coffee-stained mugs and the loose sensation of coherence within a mind growing ever so used to such disturbances. I think that he kind of just walks us right on into the rest of his thoughts very, very nicely, you know. And I put down leading us into your well-penned, thoughts. So I thought it was a great job, Aaron, and I want to thank you for sharing that with us tonight. That was a great addition to the show. And I'm kind of glad you wrote a new one, too. Made me smile. Yes. Okay, I gotta hit that button. There. Got it. I'm always afraid I'm gonna lose my thought here. Yes, Robbie, I think we all do. Like, there's days where I go without drinking coffee. I know, it's hard to believe. But on the other days where I really do make the coffee, it does seem to make a world of difference in my day. But some days I just say, I'm just not playing with it. Just not. So, absolutely. Okay, Pam, the next piece I have up is from you.
All right.
I'm going to get to put you to work and have you read this one. It's called A Bountiful Brewing by Pam Ray.
Oh, let's see here. Got to refresh. And this is actually a pretty close song parody, but I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read it.
Why not?
So.
Why not?
Well, because we don't want to torment our listening audience.
I'm going to take points off for you not singing it.
For me not singing it. Okay. You can deduct my pay. So. All right. This is A Bountiful Brewing. The invite of caffeine from the kitchen. The invite of caffeine from the kitchen. The scent is as bright as a celebrant night, and the effects of the buzz has me reeling. Oh, what a bountiful brewing. Oh, what a bountiful day. I've got a wonderful feeling. A second cup's coming my way. All the caffeine, I'm dancing in tap shoes. All the caffeine, I'm dancing in tap shoes. The brew lifts my head as my thoughts start to fly, and the coffee's dark magic is sprinkling high. Oh, what a bountiful brewing. Oh, what a bountiful day. I've got a wonderful feeling. A third cup is coming my way. All the grounds of the earth are my muses. All the grounds of the earth are my muses. Some tea can be lovely, but I prefer coffee so that old sleeping pillow won't see none of me. Oh, what a bountiful brewing. Oh, what a bountiful day. I've got a wonderful feeling. A fourth cup is coming my way. End song. There you go. I sung it, kind of.
She sung it. I started singing it. I'm like, yes, she did. Oh, I think you did a great job with the parody, Pam. I thought it was just a wonderful parody. It was, and each time I feel, you know, I got a wonderful feeling. A second, a third, and a fourth cup are coming my way. Yeah, that was good. I liked that very much. Whatever possessed you, go with, oh, what a beautiful morning to do that. Or which way did that happen? Was it coffee first or song parody?
It was, it's always coffee first. You mean as far as the picture goes?
No, I was just wondering what got you started, like where the thought came from.
Honestly, I was trying to write for a contest that Matt and Stelina are running for with Rodgers and Hammerstein songs, and one of them was "Oh, What a Beautiful Morning." I was going to kill two birds with one stone, but then I realized their contest said they wanted emotionally deep writes, and I was like, "Yeah, I don't think this counts as emotionally deep." So, but I thought it made for a fun parody.
It was a great parody. I did. It was just fun and lighthearted, and I thought it was spot on for tonight's show. Absolutely. But you know, usually when you set your mind to something, it's no stopping you. Absolutely, and I don't mean that in a bad way. You always come in with a different. Angle on things, and I like that always. I just thought it was cute. I was trying to figure out how you plucked that song and made it into coffee. I didn't know like what got you going. So that answered the question perfectly.
Well, plus coffee always makes it every morning beautiful. So
yes, there's a lot of truth there. When I drink mine, which is, I would say out of 7 days, I probably drink it four. That's probably the other 3 days are probably the days that I just kind of crash and burn. I don't know. Maybe that's it. I have to, like, pay attention more. But I definitely liked bountiful brewing, oh, what a bountiful day. I love that. I think that was perfect. And I really did like how you advanced that to your third and fourth cup. I really did. And the other stanzas were great as well. I thought they were clever. So nicely done, Pam, and thanks for sharing with us. That was fun. That was a fun piece.
Well, absolutely. My pleasure. Did you see, Robbie said if you sing, I'll sing Prince's Cream. So I'm guessing he's going to save that one for a Wednesday night, but I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it, Robbie, because she sang it. She did. Yep, she fooled you. Aha. The question is, did he say that before or after you sang? She's sneaky, Robbie. Did you say
that? That's a good question. I didn't see it until after because, of course, I was busy and didn't refresh my page till after, but, you know.
That was good. Okay, Robbie, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know what show it's going to be, but somebody better tell me so I can get a look at that. And Aaron said, Pam, good job. All I can hear is the bass tune. Who will buy me another sweet coffee? LOL. Yep. Good stuff. And I have to apologize because I'm really not refreshing, like, hardly at all. It's so bad that I put up a piece on the board, and then when I see it when I put it up, and then all of a sudden it's gone. So I have to go back and hunt it up again. Go figure. I don't know. I'm going to try not to call everybody's ear to me. But boy, it's ridiculous. Okay. Now the next piece I'm going to put up is by The Poet. Okay, maybe I'll take a drink before I start. This is called, this is called The Magician's Welcome to the Dark Realm by The Poet. It's a nice long one for me. Is it decaf? I don't think I could take caffeine in my state. Blake, who just came back to life, said to his Reaper son, who had just got him a coffee, "No, we don't have decaf here. Welcome to the dark realm," said Lance, who thumped the coffee down on the table on the other world office of the King of the Grim Reapers. End poem. Yep. See, they have cookies, but they don't have decaf. Got that? Right, Pam?
Wow.
Yes.
I would have thought completely opposite. I would have thought hell is where they serve decaf. I guess it's all about what you want. If you show up there and you want decaf, they don't have it. If you show up there and you want caffeine, they don't have it. But, this is a wonderful espresso shot. A great use of storytelling within a brevity that stands on its own, but could also be extended upon. And it's hard to separate any one part because it's great all the way through, but I do especially like, no, we don't have decaf here. Welcome to the dark realm.
Good.
And great lines and very well done.
Yes, absolutely. I have to say I like the darkness. I thought it was clever, you know. I really did. Let me see here. No, I at the very center line, no, we don't have decaf here. Welcome to the dark realm, said Lance, who thumped the coffee down on the table of the other world office. Of the King and the Grim Reapers. Because it was clever. And the image that he used on this was perfect. I think it really fit well. And if you just, I mean, I'm not sure what he, maybe he just wrote it for us and had this image he had found. But I think that it really, they work together very well. So, yes, nice stuff. Well written. And thanks for the share. I'm going to put your espresso shot.
I've always seen these pictures of coffee being drinking in like clear glasses. Like,
yeah.
And I've never drank coffee in that kind of cup. Have you at like a restaurant or anything?
Years ago, my mother had mugs. They weren't completely clear like that, but they were in the shape of a globe. And they were clear. They weren't clear glass. They were kind of frosted, I guess. And it had it's supposed to represent the world. And I forget what brand of coffee it was that it kind of represented. But I don't know if they were doing it as a promotional or what it was.
Huh.
I remember those, but clear coffee mugs, no, I've never actually seen one used anywhere. But you do see them on occasion out in the images and stuff. So I think that was, but the top hat and everything definitely goes down to the Grim Reaper style there, I think. So nice job, and thank you very much, Rachel. Mm-hmm. See, now you make me want to go investigate and find out what the hell they were. See, I have to type that in and do that.
Yeah, we'll have to find that out. They sound like they might be some sort of collector's item or something.
I mean, I'm going back many, many, many years. I think I was like below the age of 12. I know, believe it or not, they really did have coffee. what can I tell you? Okay, I'll tell you what. The next piece I'm going to put up as a SoundCloud. And this is by Eric Svensson. Eric, what the hell am I doing? Why won't this work? And it's called Hail Noble Kaldi by Eric Svensson. Whenever you're ready, Pam.
Hail Noble Kaldi, Ethiopian goatherd Kaldi, your sense of observation smites my fear of Kali. 3 tender sips of liquid black gold. Blood corpuscles rush to do the rah-rah Rasputin. Frisky fresh feel of them goats you observe after imbibing merry red berries on bushes. Hail, noble Kaldi, botanist, horticulturist, and zany zoologist. Slap Grandpa Google's auntie, thrice removed left and right, but scented my holy grail coffee beaker, thou shalt not touch. Sanguine on its desk placed shrine to my right, when I write, it releases muse-infused vapors, which Twitter tweets, tweak mine olfactory senses to dervish will. Beloved heart-shaped African continent, liquid black gold coffee treasure, discovered by goatherd Kaldi. Frisky fresh, always by my perky side, slayer of all the world's woes, we are thus resurrected, sip by sip. End poem.
That was a great piece by Eric, with his natural flair, because he always has interesting things to share within his writing. And this one was strictly, about coffee. It didn't have any other kind of, well, maybe he did, 3 tender sips of liquid black gold, blood corpuscles rushed to do the rah-rah Rasputin, frisky fresh fields, them goats you observed after imbibing merry red berries on the bushes. His use of alliteration was great. I think that he has some straight up facts in there, and he definitely can make a write interesting. And I like where he took where he took the coffee prompt. And I love the image he took. Touch my coffee, I will slap you so hard, even Google won't be able to find you. Yep. I'm shocked that that's the one you chose. Just kidding. But I really liked it. you know, I mean, and his ending stanza was just as fabulous. I mean, tweak mine olfactory senses to dervish whirl, beloved heart-shaped African continent, excuse me, liquid black gold coffee treasure, discovered by Gosar Chaldi, frisky fresh, always by my perky side, player of all the world's woes, we are thus resurrected, sip by sip. Yes, 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 it can wake us up, can it not?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Great comment there, Gene. I just thought this was an absolutely fabulous write. His imagery and metaphors, as always, you said, the flair of his reading voice. And Eric really did have great attention to detail and was nice enough to supply a link to the page for African Roots Coffee in his AN, which I recommend that people check it out, you know, like after the show. Or during, if they can listen at the same time, however that goes. But, yeah, so I had been checking it out earlier, and I'm back on there right now because I wanted to mention some things. First of all, yes, Eric's attention to detail came from real-life history. It says, legend has it that coffee was first discovered by a young Ethiopian goat herd named Kaldi, who noticed his goats behaving excitedly after eating red berries from a nearby bush. Kaldi then tried them himself and discovered that it gave him a fresh burst of energy.
There you go.
And another part I found interesting, because, you know, we don't really think about this. Like, you know how, you know, we buy a lot of coffee where it's the Arabica beans.
Right.
You know, but apparently the difference between some of the differences between the Arabica beans, which is most commonly used, and the Robusta beans, which is what is used in the African coffee, is that the Arabica beans have a wider taste range. Whereas Robustas are more neutral to harsh in taste. And oftentimes when roasted can have the taste of burnt rubber, which sounds like some really strong coffee. Like you'd have to cut it with like lots of goat's milk or something. but it's interesting. Apparently the Robusta bean is actually, as the name suggests, more robust. Like the Arabica bean is more likely to get killed off by, you know, like the bad weather, you know, like it basically, you know, things have to be perfect in order for it to grow. So, yeah, and there's some fascinating information for people, and thank you, Eric, for that. And now back to his poem. Yeah, I really liked that picture he attached, which was one that Hatch had recommended for us. Touch my coffee, I will slap you so hard, even Google won't be able to find you. And then, you know, this is just a wonderful ode to coffee and to the history of coffee. And I tell you, I am now determined to save up enough money to order myself some of this Robusta coffee because it sounds really good. And I really like where he says, hail, noble Kaldi, botanist, horticulturist, and zany zoologist, slap grandpa Google's auntie thrice removed left and right, but centered my holy grail coffee beaker thou shalt not touch. You know, just wonderful sense of humor and very well done.
I totally agree with that, Pam. Nice comment. And by the way, I put the coffee mugs in the room. I'm not sure if you saw them yet, but they were put out by the Nestle company. And, you know, Aaron said something after that that kind of sparked me. I think it was a promotion for instant coffee, which I always thought was horrible. Very horrible. I guess when you're kind of stuck for it, you know, I guess it's not too bad. But back then, it was all the rage. They came, I'm sure, they probably had just come out with instant coffee and thought they had, like, I don't know, set the world on fire. But the mugs are interesting. And since you asked about them, there they are. See that?
I do not see them.
You know you got to scroll up, girl. You know.
Oh, yes. All that fun chit-chat. There they are. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Robbie's giving us the absolutes on the clear cups for coffee now. Or substance keeps in the heat. Thankfully, when I looked it up, I found nothing bad about Boris. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's just
Kopi Luwak. Isn't that is Kopi Luwak the coffee that's made with the wild cat poop?
I don't know if that's what it's called. But the civets eat the beans.
I like coffee, but that would have to be a darn good coffee.
Somebody would have to sneak it in for me to try it. And then maybe we could talk.
Yeah, right?
I don't necessarily want to know ahead of time because that might taint my opinion. They say it's fabulous. I just cannot imagine. I don't know. But
Yeah. Obviously, it's got to be fabulous if it's that. It's like the most expensive kind.
That's what I have.
You know, I'm assuming they also wash the beans really well, so I think I'd be willing to try it, but I'd have to have somebody tell me afterwards. I don't know, you know?
Right, and I'm sure they do. I'm sure that it gets reprocessed all over again in a plant somewhere. But they say it's supposed to be fabulous, and I guess I just want to know who the first person was to try it. That's what I want to know. Whoever saw it poop and go, oh, look, there's a coffee bean in there. I think I'm going to, you know, cook that up and have some. I don't know about that. I often want to know what possesses people to try these things that they try. But,
well, yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know? Obviously, we know with Caldy. With Caldy, he just saw his goats getting all excited and thought, I'm going to try that.
That's right. He didn't eat it and then poop it out the other end and then say, oh, I'm going to drink that. No, he didn't do that, I don't think. You know, that's not what I got from that. But
nope.
Kind of interesting. Kind of interesting. Of that, I can say. Oh, gosh. Well, listen, we have another snow cloud coming up. I don't know. They're all in a cluster. But that's okay. I don't mind. This one is called Intravenous Joy by Puddles 33. It's too good. It looks comical, so I cannot wait.
Intravenous Joy by Barb Christine. My ivy pole protects your face from marks I'll leave without a trace of sad remorse or self-reflection. I'll bite your hand, so pay attention. That pole supports dark liquid brew, enters my veins to make me new, replaces anger with sweet hope, each drip a drop that helps me cope with creeps like you who try to steal my morning joy, my daily zeal. So lift your paw up off that bag, or coffee won't remove the rag I shove deep down your sallow throat. Just leave me here till bliss can float up from the depths of life's green bile. I'd stand way back. It takes a while for coffee's magic to turn the key that unlocks kindness inside of me. It's intravenous joy I hold. Oh, you'll be safe till it gets cold.
Are you on mute? Oh, there you are.
I was coughing and sneezing and wheezing and all that stuff. I thought this was a great piece by Barb. It was humorous. You know. Okay, here we go. Excuse me. She starts it with, my ivy bowl protects your face from marks I'll leave without a trace of sadness, remorse, or self-reflection. I'll bite your hand, so pay attention. The intro to this is, I thought was great. And, you know, I mean, if you're not sure what's going on, although the picture tells it all, it definitely is funny, but, wow, excuse me. Good gosh. With creeps like you who tried to steal my morning joy, my daily zeal. So lift your paw up off that bag, or coffee won't remove the rag. I shove it deep down your sallow throat. Just leave me here till bliss can float. From the depths of life's green bile, I'd stand way back. It takes a while. I love Barb's use of rhyme always in all of her poetry. And I love her sense of humor in this, you know, because how many times do we threaten anyone who comes between us and our coffee? I think that, really, you know. And I think that she really
did a great
job with this. Definitely well-penned, well-read, and completely enjoyable. So I have to say, you know, I liked it. The image is a riot, you know. I mean, a great find for the contest. So thank you, Barb, for sharing with us, as always. It's an excellent piece. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, I did enjoy this one very much. Barb is always spot on with her rhyme and meter. That picture really did work well to attach to a coffee poem. You know, the great thing about coffee is you can write something serious about it, or you can just have that sense of humor, because there really is a lot of fun to be had with coffee. And especially as you were saying, the idea of somebody taking our coffee away, and then, you know, you get that dark, twisted humor that just works so well. And wonderful lines throughout, but I did especially with creeps like you who try to steal my morning joy, my daily zeal. So lift your paw up off that bag, or coffee won't remove the rag. And then the end one too, for coffee's magic to turn the key that unlocks kindness inside of me. It's intravenous joy I hold. Oh, you'll be safe till it gets cold. And Barb, she just cracks me up, because, you know, I had told her in my written comment that that was an excellent write on the intravenous coffee that keeps society safe. And she says, indeed, at least it keeps my husband and kids safe.
I love it. Great piece.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
I love this as humor. She did put in here that, what did she write in her, and fresh fruit from blah, blah, self-care is so personal, it's different for everyone. For example, for me, self-care is coffee first thing in the morning. For you, self-care is the wise decision not to bother me while I drink it. That was one of the prompts. And this is prompt 12. That moment when I realize my coffee pot has a straw holder, you know, and... You know, yes. And if you saw the image in the contest, you know exactly what that is. Because, you know, it has that hole where the coffee drips down into the pot. Yeah, yes. And it does hold a straw. So clever. It was one piece. Oh, damn. Okay. Now. Yeah, good stuff. A lot of good stuff here tonight. And... for my next magic trick, Pam, I have another piece with an audio. I don't know how they got in such a cluster, but this is called Really, Really Good Morning Coffee by Gary Rubin. And whenever you're ready.
Twisted Tuesday's Fresh Brewed Fun. Prompt 13. I like my coffee so strong that it wakes the neighbors. Really, Really Good Morning Coffee by Gary Rubin. My beans bump and grind to a vibrating rhythm. The intoxicating smell of excitement percolates. Our pulses quicken. Tongues lick, moisten lips. A loving spoonful sweetens the pot. You swallow that first gulp. Hot liquid from my steamed beans bring ecstasy. Lightly gripping your love handles, I pour. That second steamy cup really revs our engines. Dark and rich, or light with cream. Satisfied travel mugs leave home with slightly cracked Cheshire Cat smiles. Pulling out of the driveway, our engines purr. Two kittens in love.
There you go. That was a great piece, I thought, by Gary. Fun. I love the element of suggestion in it, you know. And just really well put together. And I love the audio. It was spoken so well, better than I could have put it together, so that's for sure. But where am I? Okay. My beans bump and grind to a vibrating rhythm. The intoxicating smell of excitement percolates. Our pulses quicken, tongues lick moistened lips. A loving spoonful sweetens the pot. You swallow that first gulp. Hot liquid from my steamed beans brings ecstasy. Nice. I mean, because he really, you know, he kind of leads you halfway in a different direction, and I love that. But he gave enough clues, you know, throughout to really bring you to where he was going, and I thought it was just a fabulous job, and I really enjoyed it. So just well done, Gary, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Okay, Pam.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I thought it was really cool that he gave a shout-out to Twisted Tuesdays in his audio. And again, another one of our poets that just has this amazing reading voice. You know, the illusion in this, as you were saying, is just great. The way, it's so fun and sexy, and it's really one of those writes about those of us who just really, really, really love our morning coffee. It cracks me up that in his AN he put, "My apologies go out to anyone that prefers to quietly drink sweet tea in solitude or was honestly offended." But the wonderful imagery, clever lines, you know, that hot cup of Java that can really get the beans bouncing and the Java jiving and all that fun stuff. And I really like lightly gripping your love handle. I pour that second steamy cup, really revs our engines, dark and rich or light with cream. Satisfied travel mugs leave home with slightly cracked Cheshire Cat smiles. Yeah. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Right, right. And I loved his last line, too. Two kittens in love. I just thought it was, I don't know, I just thought it was really cute and nicely done. So thank you, Gary. I really like this one. But I love this prompt. I like my coffee so strong that it wakes up the neighbors. Woo-hoo!
Yeah. If my coffee was so strong it woke up the neighbors, they'd probably be leaving notes on my door.
Quicken, you're sitting in, well, you're looking at the late night poet's room. That's where you are.
That's right.
We're getting there. We're getting there. You're a couple away. And, yeah, I like that a lot by Gary. Well done. Oh, God, I keep going to the wrong tab. Okay, let me see now. The next piece we have is another one by Errant Panther, and it's called Overnight Machinations. So, here we go. And Pam, whenever you're ready. Pam's working hard tonight.
Overnight Machinations by Errant Panther. Thoughts percolate deep into the hours where shadows are absorbed by an all-encompassing darkness. Reasons drift, seemingly coming to rest on negligent shoulders, until the ticking of tiny hands no longer elicit comfort. Madness beating behind unsettled brows, as drip by drip every emotion is filtered like light before a hurricane. The moment draws silent, as black gold now fills the pot, and inspiration pours like rain from an open faucet. Alive again, and all at once, this muse spills forth verses of everything and nothing that regular thought would be expected to intertwine. End poem.
Wow, great read and write, Iron Panther. I thank you very much for that. Pam, I think it's your turn to go first, because I have to think for a minute.
All right. Yeah, this is wonderful. I get the feeling from these two writes that we've seen from Aaron tonight that he does enjoy his coffee, but it also basically is a survival mechanism for those late nights of either work or the muse keeping him awake. You know, he's got a wonderful imagery again throughout. I really like madness beating behind unsettled brows as drip by drip every emotion is filtered like light before a hurricane. I like how he uses the process of brewing coffee as a metaphor, and that idea of those things that we filter out of ourselves, and also the idea of the dark hot kick of a caffeine that awakens the muse. You know, that moment of feeling, you know, lively, feeling inspired. I really, and that's another part I really like, where he says, the moment draws silent as black gold now fills the pot and inspiration pours like rain from an open faucet. You know, sometimes, well, it pretty much like I said earlier, it's always coffee first. You know, I don't like answering questions before coffee. I don't write poetry before coffee. There's just a whole lot of things I don't do before coffee. And I'm getting the impression that it's the same way with Arendt. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Yeah, I liked his little references in each stanza. Thoughts percolate. Okay. And then we go down here. Madness beating behind unsettled brows as drip by drip every emotion is filtered like light before a hurricane. And then the moment draws silent as black gold now fills the pot and inspiration pours like rain from an open faucet. That was a great stanza that you quoted. And then alive again and all at once, this muse spills forth verses. I mean, I think it was, yeah, I think this was just great. I love the references. I love the way he put it together. And it was just an excellent piece all the way through. You know, he gave us just enough in each stanza to point us in the direction he wanted us to go. And his prompt that he used for this one is purgatory. An anguish period spent waiting for a fresh pot of coffee to be ready. And I think that was a great take on that prompt, for real. So well done, Aaron, and thank you so much for writing for us tonight. It was a great piece. Absolutely. Okay. Now, I have to go over here and come up with something before I get the coffee again. Wow. Let me see what I have. Oh, good. We got another audio, Pam.
All right.
I think this is like the last one, sadly. Wow. That's okay. You and I can read after that. Okay.
Absolutely. We've got enough of a rest.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know about
more
me.
More rest than the wicked should have.
They say the idle mind is the devil's workshop, right? I better get busy here. Okay, this is called Cups for Two by Quicken. So, whenever you're ready, hon.
Cups for Two by Quicken. Every day began with a cherished ritual. My wife and I moving through the gentle rhythm of shared routines, though nothing would ever change. Our mornings would start with a quiet breakfast. Her smile, as bright as the dawn, illuminating our quaint kitchen. The cups would clink. She prepared her coffee, her laughter light and carefree filling the air. Our afternoons were spent wandering through the garden she adored, her fingers lightly caressing the blooms as though bestowing a blessing upon them.
Isn't that pretty?
Would comment on how the roses appeared more vibrant than ever. She would nod, her eyes light with unspoken words. Despite the relentless march of the world around us, it seemed we had found a way to slow time, basking in the simplicity of our love. Evening drew us closer, nestled within the cozy embrace of our bedroom. She would sit in her favorite computer chair, the soft clicking of her keys a comforting backdrop to my attempts at writing poetry. She shared glances and smiles, silent language honed over a decade woven into the very fabric of our being. Yet,
I love you.
Tonight, as I prepared two cups of coffee, silence became oppressive, heavy with questions I had not thought to ask. Turning to share a joke, I discovered her chair was empty, devoid not only of her presence, but any indication she had ever been here.
It's okay.
My wife, my companion of many years, had not been by my side. Memories once vivid and warm revealed themselves as a specter of a life to which I had desperately clung. Her laughter, her touch, our shared looks, mere figments of a heart too stubborn to accept loss. In that moment, the world seemed to shift, reality reshaping into a landscape unrecognizable to me. She had passed, leaving me to navigate a world we no longer shared, except within the confines of my mind. The shock of her absence, the realization that I had been spending my days with a ghost, her ghost, it left me shattered. I was adrift, severed from the anchor of our love. Tears flowed, not only for her passing, but for her profound beauty and tragedy of our separation. A bond so strong that even death struggled to sever it. A realization as piercing as it was heartbreaking, leaving me to face the remainder of my days bereft of her touch.
Holy guacamole. That's what I'm going to say. This is a fabulous piece. So much going on in here, and I love how the coffee was just pulled into this whole story, you know, because there's so many things. If anyone has lost a spouse or a loved one, there are those times where you're used to spending it together, and when that happens, there's a void. There's just a huge void, and you know, if you sat and drank coffee together every morning, that's just huge empty space in your life. So this was really well captured. Quicken, I have to say. Just wonderful. And I was glad to read your AN because I saw somebody was kind of upset about they felt bad that you had lost your wife. But it says here, my wife is alive and well and helped do the whispers in the SoundCloud. So I'm sure everybody would take a deep breath and say, oh, thank God. But this was a very touching and painful piece in a lot of ways, because anyone who can slip into those shoes knows exactly, you've captured it so well. So excellent job, and thank you so much for sharing with us. And Pam, how's it about you?
Oh my goodness, yeah. This is absolutely beautiful, and it did make me a little misty-eyed. The one thing that helped with me not crying too much is the fact that I had already known that his wife was still alive and beating him over the head with a slipper for killing him off in a poem. So, you know.
He threw a slipper at him. I remember that.
Yep. So that helped. If it had been a true story, I would have been blubbering. But still, because, you know, obviously it is a very real thing to lose one's spouse, you know, to lose one's partner. And so even though this was not a true story for him, it's, as you were saying, Jean, something that so many people can connect with because it is their personal experience. And I also like how he brought in the coffee, because a lot of times coffee, just like tea, is a symbol for the times that we gather together. Me and my friend Trixie like to use the phrase going out for coffee just to mean to go out, you know,
right.
And, you know, not like, you know, just, you know, go out to a cafe and, you know, if you have coffee or not, that's up to you. But my sister's a very literal person. And we used to say to her, let's go have coffee. And she'd be like, I don't drink coffee, you know.
Right, right.
But the emotional impact of this story and the way he brings in the coffee is just beautiful. Yet tonight, as I prepared two cups of coffee, the silence became oppressive. Looked down, a heavy sigh escaping me, heavy with questions I had not thought to ask. Turning to share a joke, I discovered her chair was empty, devoid not only of her presence, but any indication she had ever been here. And that was the turning point of the story, which is to me a great representation of really good storytelling, is when you have that moment where you bring the reader to go, oh my goodness. And so just an excellent write and very well done.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And let's see now. What do we have? Next piece I'm going to put up. Is it your turn to read, Pam? I think it is.
That's a good question with the, like, 8 audios or so we had, or however many, 6 audios or 7. I've forgotten.
I think you read the first one, and I think I read the second one by the poet. So I'm going to put it on you. This one is called Hook Me Up by Dan Ellison. So whenever you're ready.
All right. I'm a Java junkie. Hook me up to any bean IV. But even I think that it's creepy clutching a coffee colonoscopy. Or am I thinking of colonics? Either way, it's just as crazy. Call me old-fashioned, if you will, or go on and call me lazy. But I prefer to drink mine down, though I'm no cup o' joe snob. Starbucks sure is trendy ground, but leaves me feeling robbed. Straight up, straight black, no frills, you don't have to shake it or stir. But I wouldn't say no to an espresso. I'm an addict indeed, yes, sir. So, buddy, can I bum a few bucks? Do you happen to have loose change? I'd swear on my life I'll get a hot meal right after I've caffeinated my brains. End poem.
I'm going to be a tad bit slow, Pam, just so you know, because I'm muting myself between everything.
No problem.
Just so you know, if I do, like, sound a little vague, I might need a reminder, but I'm trying real hard to keep on it.
I'll hold off on the reminders as long as I can.
Well, yeah, but we can't sit here forever. But I
yeah.
you know, hook me up. First off, you know, we get into that IV, like Fuddle was doing. I'm a Java junkie. Hook me up to any bean IV. But even I think that it's creepy, touching the coffee colonoscopy. Or am I thinking of colonics? Either way, it's just as crazy. Call me old-fashioned, if you will, or go on and call me lazy. But I prefer to drink mine down, though I'm no cup of Joe snob. Starbucks, sure, is trendy ground, but leaves me feeling robbed. well, maybe I won't be reading a bunch. I think, you know, it has a different, it comes in from a whole different direction, I guess I'll say. You know, it mentions the IV, you know, but then it talks about colonics and you know, what have you. And yeah, nothing makes you feel robbed more than Starbucks, I have to say that. I don't think I've ever been to Starbucks because I just can't even imagine paying that much when I can go to Wawa. I don't know if everybody knows who Wawa is, and get a decent cup of coffee, you know, and be satisfied. So I just don't see the – then again, I'm not one for a whole bunch of giggle in my coffee either. So I'm kind of basic in that way. But I think it was just a well-done piece, well-written, put together. And, yeah, so, buddy, can I burn a few bucks? Do you happen to have loose change? I swear on my life I'll get a hot meal right after I've caffeinated my brains. So I like the way you ended this as well, but, you know, you definitely have to get into it. But I did enjoy the whole piece. Each one of the stanzas was well-written and nicely expressed. And let's see what it says here in the AIN. Coffee colonics are a thing. If you don't already know, I'll let you look it up. Excuse me. I had to because I really did forget the right one. I could use any of the prompts, really, but I really like number 9. So great job, and thanks for sharing with us, Pam. Okay, Pam, it's all yours.
All right. Well, yeah, I had to look up that coffee colonoscopy thing, too. And which I had read about them before, but I had forgotten. And it's just, my goodness, like public service announcement. If you're thinking of doing a coffee colonoscopy, please don't. It can cause inflammation of the colon and rectum. It can cause, well, this is the part I question. Apparently, it can cause rectal burns from hot liquid. Like, why aren't they letting their coffee cool down before they do the coffee colonoscopy?
Yeah, that's a good question, Pam. That would be concerning.
You know, I'm like, very concerned. Yeah, exactly. This is very concerning. But I won't go on because some of it's personal stuff. But, you know,
right.
You know, there's quite a bit of it. But the point is trust me, it seems from what I'm reading that there's far worse things that can happen, you know, than there are benefits. You know, great humor in this piece, wonderful rhyme and flow. I have had Starbucks a couple times in my life just because I was, you know, in a city that had a Starbucks and somebody else was going there that I was with. But for the most part, I can leave it or take it. But I do like this all the way through, but especially where it says, but I prefer to drink mine down, though I'm no couple Joe snob. Starbucks sure is trendy ground, but leaves me feeling robbed. Straight up, straight black, no frills. You don't have to shake it or stir, but I wouldn't say no to an espresso. I'm an addict indeed. Yes, sir. Great lines and very well done.
Nice. Well, very cool. Great job, Dan, and thanks for the share. Okay, let me see now. I don't know. Everything's all backwards here in my world. Fudge Sickles. Okay. Oh, Robbie's on the line, he says. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Hello, Robbie.
Hello.
Hi, Rob.
I'm one of the world's original coffee fans, so
right.
I had to call in. Right now I'm making tea because it's later at night, but I'm a big coffee lover, so I had to call in.
Robbie, I've always heard, and I guess maybe it depends on what kind of tea you're making, that tea has more caffeine in it than coffee does. That's what
it does. It really does make a difference which kind of tea.
Right.
Because like there's herbal teas, you know, and then there's like black teas have a lot of caffeine in them.
Yeah.
But
right now
the one I'm having is like an apple spice one, so it's probably not going to have cinnamon apple spice. So it's probably not going to have as much. And for me, I'm one of those people that. They say that people are naturally hyperactive or ADD and that kind of thing, that coffee doesn't affect them as much. And I'm definitely one of those people. Like I have coffee at 10 p.m. and it doesn't affect my sleep at all. So.
Well, I'm going to tell you also a silly story. It's not a silly story. At the time, it was very serious. My daughter, when she was 5 weeks old, got the RSV virus, which is respiratory syncytial virus, right? So what happened is every time she went to sleep, she stopped breathing on me. Thank God I was standing there the first time it happened. So we take her down to the hospital, right? The hospital transfers her down to Children's Hospital. I'm trying to make this quick. And she's there, and they put her in an oxygen tent. I'm having a heart attack, right, going, oh, my God, this is my 5-week-old baby here. And they did tests on her and all this other stuff. And they brought this doctor in from the apnea unit who checked her out, and he comes to us and he says he wants to try something experimental. And I'm looking at my 5-week-old baby is now a guinea pig, right? And I'm having a heart attack. Anyway, what he does is he gives her caffeine powder, and it's mixed in sterile water, you know, like you give babies. And she was home in 2 days. She had been in there about a week before that. And she came home on caffeine powder. You're just seeing me trying to get that prescription filled. But they say that infants do not respond to caffeine the same way as adults do. And I went, oh. I said, if I know that, I'd just give her a cup of coffee instead of taking her to the hospital, you know. And, you know, I was trying to be lighthearted about the whole situation. But here, all it does in infants is just stimulates the part of the brain that tells them to breathe. So thank God for caffeine. It got my daughter through that predicament, and it kept me from losing my mind. So anyway, it's not a stupid story, but it's, I don't know. I just had to tell it because caffeine, it does. It affects everybody differently. And but the goats that got the beans got the
yeah.
So I don't
know.
Well,
that is actually a fascinating story, and it's good that you were open-minded enough to let the doctor, you know, give that a try, because it sounds like it really worked.
I didn't know what else to do with her. And then after they found out that it worked so well for her, a baby came in with RSV. They gave it caffeine and sent it home, like, the next day. So it definitely, and I believe he wrote a paper on it, you know, after the fact. I've yet to see that, but I believe it's true. But I'll never forget that man, Dr. Forrest. Yep. It was, I found it to be really intriguing. But yeah, I did. I said, if I had known that, I'd have just given her a cup of coffee, and we could have bypassed all of this. But yeah, so it was scary. But thankfully,
it's
that
funny,
was...
everything affects everybody so differently. Like,
yes.
Myself, it's more alcohol that I avoid closer to the night, because... I think it interacts with my epilepsy, and that's part, one of the things that can give me the nightmares that feel like, you know, like it's like Freddy levels of nightmares.
Right,
I tend to avoid beer after, like, say, 8 or 9 p.m. So.
Right. I get that.
But I never avoid poetry.
Well, see, that's
what a,
really
what a cheesy segue. What a cheesy, horrible segue, but there you go.
I liked it. Oh, my God. Okay, so here we go. We got the next piece I'm going to read, and this is by Rose Winter 515, and it's called In Praise of Hot Chocolate Coffee. In Praise of Hot Chocolate Coffee. Coffee, milk chocolate, heart's love, polyphenols, served in cups with theobromine, joyful. And that was a sinquan and poem. It's one of our short and sweet pieces, but definitely a great piece. So, Robbie, do you want to start us off on this one?
Sure. It's nice to have, like, the kind of the broadest range of everything coffee written on and talked about here. Like, we've heard, you know, coffee poems that are more straightforward, just, you know, the love of coffee, and some that use coffee as a metaphor, and here it's nice to see, like, coffee in another form. I was just thinking myself that I should try more forms of coffee. Like, I like my coffee, but I don't tend to try as many different kinds as I should, maybe. But, yeah, now here we have milk chocolate coffee, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. I thought to myself, that's right. There's that kind of coffee. Like, the sweet coffee is better, like, mixed in with other things, and... I like when they put in a dash of, like, a scientific word. Like, here, like, it says theobromine. And it's like, oh, nice to put in. Did it well. Like, it didn't look like she jammed it in. Like, look, here's a scientific word. I'm clever. No, it was just put in there because it was able to fit. And same with the polyphenol. Phenois. So yeah, I enjoyed that part of it, that it was like it had a little bit of science to it, but it wasn't but it was natural, it wasn't jammed in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. great comment. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful brevity, or as Aaron said, for tonight, a shot of espresso. Wonderful tribute. I mean, even the title works well as part of the poem, In Praise of Hot Chocolate Coffee. And I did like the words polyphenols and theobromine thrown in there, which apparently they've got many benefits, including being good for, you know, high blood sugars, like keeping your blood sugars down and keeping your cholesterol down and, you know, just general heart health. So, you know, just a wonderful tribute piece and quite educational. So very well done.
Absolutely. Great comments, guys. Yeah, I thought there was a great piece as well. It was short and sweet, you know, and she gave us some links to go and check out the excuse me, the theobromine and the polyphenols. So I guess that'll explain to us what the benefits are in that. So nice job, and thanks for sharing with us, Rose. Nice piece. Okay, and Robbie, it's your turn. I'm going to put this up. It's called A Queen's Kiss Fit for Her King by Harmo Neurotica. So, here we go,
okay.
Zach.
I'm just looking for, I don't see it, I didn't, here we go. Yeah, it took a couple of moments for it to, okay, by Harmo Neurotica, A Queen's Kiss Fit for Her King. You found me sleeping, trapped in a fairy tale slumber, sedated by piled blunders. Distant thoughts led me to him, sleeping away, looking distraught. How could I fix this? Would it all be for naught? Prison made of me, eyes twitching behind, blood-stained red glass makes the hidden grimace. Grabbing my confidence, studying him close, his eyes rolling, a clear sign he's in distress. Failing to rise to thunder, ears echoing, refusing to clear. War waged, sleep louder, drums louder, hulking things shout. His body thrashes. My big heart breaks. He won't wake up. I scream, shaking him, not stirring. Bleeding memory, melody robbed of illuminated spark meeting. Druids standing, feeding on fluid behind my eyes. I hang my head, starting to sob. Can't give up. Needs me to try. Feeling my strength, straight into clacking. Beak mouths prying my mind. Studying him closer, I fall to my knees. I suddenly realized that what he needs, pointing to my lips. I surrender in sleep, labyrinth to escape. Flashes of golden maiden's hair, hovering somewhere above, face illuminated by fire's stare, hand stretching down there. Stretching his hand down, cupping his cheek. Features of his face I trace. Remembering lines, reading all signs. Lips meeting. At last, sweet tasting, caffeinated kisses, crimson and clover. And this is, it says, my first fruitful collaboration with the world's, sorry, with the wonderfully talented Jessica Willinson. So this is a collab. And it's always curious to see in a collab to look. And it took, you know, read over it again and try to figure out, like, you know, who's who in the collaboration.
Yeah, I feel bad because I did realize it was a collaboration, but I had no idea that we it drifted from male to female parts throughout. I would have, otherwise I would have set it up a little differently to be read.
Yeah.
You know, that way Pam and you could have read it together. And then, but, you know, there was no trigger saying, hey, look here. You know, so I'm sorry about that.
Certainly.
It's no worse than the day I had Rex running around in pink high heels or something. You know, that was pretty comical. Pam got a kick out of that, I think. She tried to save
me. Yeah, well, I figure, honestly, as much as the men leave us alone to use our manly voices occasionally, occasionally they need to put on the high heels and the push-up bras
and just
lead away.
Robbie, she's not talking about you. Don't pay her any attention. don't let her lead you to thinking that she's talking about you. I know you're calling her. Oh, my God. So, yes. So, Pam, you want to go first?
Absolutely, yes. This is a wonderful collaboration between Harmo Neurotica, Zach, and Borderline Queen. And Robbie, you did do a wonderful read of that. And I thought this was a great take on the prompt of about the one about fairy tales. You know, don't let anyone tell you that fairy tales don't exist. You know, I drink a potion made out of a magic bean. You know, it's got an underlying darkness to it. And I like that. There's an intensity to it. But there's also kind of that bit of a dark humor at the end when you realize that, you know, all this, everything that's going on, everything they're trying to do to wake up, and in the end, it's the caffeinated kiss. And in fairy tales, isn't it always the kiss? And in real life, of course, it's always the caffeine. I really like the lines, prison made of me, eyes twitching behind, bloodstained red glass, masks the hidden grimace. Really visceral and emotive. And I hang my head, starting to sob, can't give up, needs me to try. And then the end, lips meeting at last, sweet tasting, caffeinated kisses, crimson and clover. I like the reference to the song Crimson and Clover. That's very cool. And then I also like how when you get to the ending, it's almost like you could see this not only as a fairy tale with an interaction between two people, but really about the idea of someone taking that first sip of coffee that wakes them up in the morning. So very well done.
Absolutely.
I thought the piece was well done and well written. I was kind of a little bit lost looking for the coffee up higher. I have to say that. But when we got down to the end, you know, lips meeting at last, sweet tasting caffeinated kisses. It kind of makes you go up and kind of rethink what you've already read. So it was a nice piece and a great collaboration. I want to thank you for sharing, Zach, and Borderline Queen. Look forward to seeing some more from you, too. And Robbie, how about you?
Well, the ending, I felt, too, like I liked how it zeroed in on like the caffeinated kisses. And I liked what it says afterwards, crimson and clover. That really accents the caffeinated kisses description well. And it is an ending that makes you loop back to the home and kind of give it a second framing for yourself. And it did have very much that sort of fairy tale or dark fairy tale feel. And considering that was like the framework of it, I thought it was a good decision to end it with a kiss like that, because that's often how fairy tales in that end, whether the kiss is like a life-giving kiss or more sinister kiss. Right? So, yeah, it was a good way to end it that way.
Nice comment. Absolutely. Okay. Pam, I'm going to get you ready to this next one. And this is called Brought to Life by Caffeine by Jenny the Deep. Whenever you're ready.
All right. Waking up the sleeping sea and me are glowing rays of the sun's energy and fragrant coffee flowing through a mind's tangled wires. Fuel of creativity ignites a fire that inspires. Flaring in an atom's core, electrons cavort. The gift of life is given. Energetic flames rise within. with coffee ideas of brilliance spark, morning innovations pierce the dark. Life's endless vibrant energies awaken streams of boundless symphony and poem.
Nice read. Robbie, you want to go first?
No, absolutely not. I don't. No, I'll go first. I'm not trying to joke like that. I remember one time you said, no, I have no thought. So I thought I'd do one of those. Yeah, I like the, again, this one had a little bit of science in it. And the science, the way it was used, it put a nice little accent to it. It reminded me of, I have a couple of poems that are, that have like physics and chemistry terms in there. And it kind of reminded me of that with the style of how she used that. And the way the pairing up the sea and coffee, that's a, I think that's a really nice pairing, a really natural sort of a pairing. I could just imagine, you know, somebody at their seaside home or something like that, looking out onto the ocean in the morning and having like a steaming cup of coffee. And I like the rhyme scheme here too, because it's like, yeah, kind of like rhyming couplets. Yeah, they're rhyming couplets, but sometimes like the way the it's almost like a half rhyme, or I'm not too sure what the technical term would be, but it's just a little offbeat, but in a way that accents like the rhythm of the poem. It's kind of like in jazz, where, you know, it, like the timing is unconventional, but
right.
It adds to the art that the timing is being used for.
Absolutely, I go for that. Nice comment. I thought Jenny did a great job, and I thought it was a nice addition to the contest and the program. Well done. And I grabbed up that last stanza because that's where the reference to the contest pulled in. With coffee ideas of brilliant spark, morning innovations pierce the dark. Life's endless vibrant energies awaken dreams of boundless symphonies. So, nicely done, Jenny, and thanks for sharing with us. And Pam, what you got to say?
Yeah, I thought this one was great. I love how she writes about her rhyme and flow, the wonderful imagery and metaphors. It's really an excellent write on the energy that coffee gives us, and, you know, how it refuels and recharges the body and mind. With some of the imagery in here, like the rising flames, the energetic flames rise within, and the brilliant sparks, it actually brought to my mind the old Frankenstein movies with the mad scientist or Dr. Frankenstein going, "It's alive!" Like, that's how I imagine. Yeah, exactly. That's how I imagine people like me and Jenny when we have our coffee in the morning, you know. And but yeah, there's a great line throughout, but I did especially like flaring in an atom's core, electrons cavort. You know, I just really enjoy the use of the word cavort. The gift of life is given, energetic flames rise within. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Nice comments, guys. Absolutely. Now, the next piece I'm going to put up is called Dark Magical Brew by Betty Page. And I'm going to give this one a read. That's if I can make it appear on my screen again. Oh, God. Okay. Dark Magical Brew by Betty Page. Dark Magical Brew, sweet cup of coffee for two, twirling through chaos, flying high above all. Energy of cute bunnies hopping round and round. A sexy hostess, waitress serving you divine. You'll swirl throughout time. Just like White Rabbit, going where magic leads you. Psychedelic trip. Melting sugar cubes, orange sunshine melodies, sweet happy music. Hummingbirds flirting, life's crazy, give me more tea, goddess's nectar, end poem. And Pam, do you want to start us off?
Absolutely. I would say that definitely Betty seems to be indulging in just a little more than coffee. And this is just, you know, her 575 lines are brilliant. Love her imagery throughout. The opening line, dark magical brew, sweet cup of coffee for two, twirling through chaos. You know, flying high above all, energy of cute bunnies, hopping round and round. And I like that because that makes me smile. So if you think of those people who get really hyped up on caffeine and the idea of them just bouncing around like bunnies. I remember when me and one of my best friends used to go out way back when, and there was this woman who'd always go out, get drunk, and she'd start dancing with all the guys, but when she danced with them, she basically just bounced up and down like a bunny.
Oh, my God.
And that's what I picture in my head. But, I do really like also Hummingbirds Flirting, Life's Crazy, Gimme More Tea, Goddess's Nectar. So I like how this is a poem of about indulgences. And just really enjoying life. So very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And Robbie, how about you?
I kind of got that, with the psychedelic trip and the bunny, mm-hmm. I got some of those same impressions.
Yeah.
And I like that this had the magic, generally magic feel to it. It really... When I think of coffee, a lot of times I do think of that kind of a feel where, you know, it's like sort of a magical substance. And, it's just, I really love the tone of it. Like a sexy hostess, waitress, serving you divine. You'll feel throughout time. Just, that kind of idea of like
right. Someone
looks really good serving you, serving you a drink, in this case coffee. It kind of reminded me of when I was at a restaurant once, and I was getting some tea, and I asked the waitress, this will never be erased from my mind, I asked the waitress, I said, do you have any honey here? And she says, yes, me. I'm like, oh, how do I get this honey? And I was shocked. I was floored. And I was like, okay, well, I'm coming back to this restaurant. Just overall, I was just delighted by the very light, magical, and kind of like feel that was that hint of, you know, like, oh, maybe this is more than coffee.
Absolutely, I have to agree with you guys. I thought it was a great write by Betty, great imagery throughout, and I had to laugh because thank God I read the author's notes, because it says prompt number 1 and 11. I'm not sure what the original. Well, looks like she wrote it for us. But it says, Playboy Bunnies and Alice in Wonderland Psychedelic Magic Trip. Their camp, Japanese Kwai Love Hotel will amaze you. Just come inside. Okay. There you go. But when I was reading, sorry, I don't even know what I'm doing. Flying high above all energy of cute bunnies hopping round and round. A sexy hostess, waitress serving you divine. You'll swirl throughout time. Just like White Rabbit, going where magic leads you. Psychedelic trip. Well, she got this melting sugar cubes. Isn't it absinthe that they used to use the sugar cubes with? Or am I, like, confused?
It is. It was, yes. No, it is absinthe.
Melting sugar cubes. I went, yeah, now that says a lot to me. But then it says aren't.
I was actually thinking about absinthe a bit, too, when, now that you mention it, that came to my mind a little bit with the psychedelic. Sort of a thing, like how people used to have green absinthe and
right,
yeah.
And the only reason it came into my mind
wormwood.
Is because
it had the wormwood in it.
Trippy. Yeah, the wormwood. Yep. But it definitely it did, because when I read that, I started to chuckle to myself and I went, yeah, well, it is a little trippy, you know. I'm trying to figure out where we were, but clever, right, Betty? Thanks for sharing with us. Gave me something to think about. Oh my gosh. All good. Okay, now that will bring me to Robbie again. So, Mr. Robbie, put this piece up for you. And this is called Surely I Jest. This poem is called Snark by Guilty. So here we go. Whenever you're ready.
Okay. Just getting over there now.
My warning, this poem contains snark. I love that.
Yep.
I love that preface. So we're warning everybody, this poem contains snark, just so you know. Okay, confined to the everyday doldrums, bleak, gray sky threatening malice. Even the sun regrets rising. Commuter nightmares grow more apparent. Harsh reality is that everyone wants the same lane, handrail or seat. Patience is a myth, like a fat man from the North Pole. Of course, one would assume there is something that makes the same person venture commuter madness. Frigid temperatures, winter's weekly maelstrom do not dissuade me in the least. I approach you, glass doors, requisite panhandling bum. Do not deter me, urban warrior. You are my waking dream. Come hither, smile. Summons me to an alternative, attentive dog. I become on hind legs. I beg to feel your heat in my hands. Smell your enchanting roasting aroma and your smooth cream tickles my nose. Slightly, I know. It is unmanly to giggle like an incited, but your rich, supple body makes me feel like I'm the only one in your world. You are never faithful. There is plenty to share. I should be jealous, but I don't care. As long as I can skip you and have more when I please. Full bronze body with a smile for me. End poem.
Great read there, Robbie. Are you on mute, Jean?
I was, and I said, and what do you think, Pam? And you didn't say anything. I said, did I miss you? Yeah, I'm lost.
I was just waiting there, hanging in midair.
Yeah, right, exactly. Oh, God. Yeah, Pam, so go ahead and give
I thought this, this was definitely great. The original contest he wrote this for was actually a contest that I wrote to too. It's one of my 15 coffee rights was in this contest. But I love the snark in this, the imagery and metaphors, it's just a wonderful celebration of coffee and our addiction to it. I really like, come hither, smile, summons me, and an attentive dog. I become on hind legs. I beg to feel your heat in my hands, smell your enchanting roasting aroma and your smooth cream tickling my nose slightly. I know it is unmanly to giggle like an excited child, but your rich, supple body makes me feel like I am the only one in your world. Such a wonderful sensuality that pays dedication to coffee. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. And Robbie, what did you think?
Well, I enjoyed the unconventional sort of imagery here. For just a couple moments, I didn't quite see the coffee parallel, but then I started to see it. It didn't take too long, and I like the kind of the idea of how the coffee, like it's kind of showing coffee as like a comforter during, like, you know, things like the dreaded morning commute, frigid temperatures, that sort of thing. And I related to it that way in that I like to try and make sure that I have some coffee on the bus or something to drink at least, but usually coffee, and sometimes at work too, and especially because if I get anxious or something, sometimes it comes out in a bit of a twitch. And if I have like coffee or something to drink, then it helps to like get away from that, because it's like, you know, my mouth can't be occupied with the twitch. It's occupied with drinking. So I kind of thought of that a little bit, and I like the some of the other images here, like your rich, supple body makes me feel like I'm the only one in your world. And it's funny because I was using the word solipsism to myself earlier today, where like it's like you can only be sure of your own existence. And in this kind of here, it kind of has that idea, like it's just the one, it just makes you think about your own one-on-one relationship with coffee. Even though there are so many other people in the world that have a relationship with coffee, you're just focusing on yours.
Yep. Great comments. Yeah, I thought this was a great piece by Guilty. This is from 2019. I just happened to look and see. Very well done addition to both the contest and the show. And I picked it up where Pam did. Come hither, smile, summons me. And an attentive dog I become on my hind legs, I beg. And I took it all the way down to the end. This was, as long as I can sip you, have more when I'm pleased. Full bronze body with a smile for me. And I thought that was just an excellent job. I really did. So nicely done, Guilty, and I want to thank you for sharing with us. It's just a good piece all the way through. So enjoy. And I like how you picked up our prompt. Don't ever let anyone tell you fairy tales aren't real. I wake up every morning to drink a potion made from magic beans, and it brings me back to life. I think that was a good prompt. But
it's a valuable lesson, too, like not to lose that childlike sense of wonder. Like I was on the bus once, and I heard something. Oh, I refuse to tell my child of, was it fairy tales or love stories or and something else. And it just, like, made me cringe. Like, well, if you want to raise a sociopath, you know, that doesn't have an idea of feelings, go ahead. And, it actually offended me because it wasn't even earnestness. It was, like, almost like an obsession. Like, I will not let my, you know, kid hear fairy tales and this and that. And I'm like, ooh, you know, it's taking the idea too far of, like, you know, you don't want your kids to be lost in ideas that
right.
don't serve, like, you know, but yeah, but to go that far and just, like, want to take away wonder and imagination like that is,
I think what happens is people get locked into the fact that a lot of fairy tales have a dark beginning, but, you know, I mean, they're not there now, you know, they're not in today's versions. And sometimes I think that people just really do go overboard. So I have to agree with you on that. Absolutely. Absolutely. But did I comment on Guilty's piece? I don't know, but I think I did. Yes, I did. Okay, Pam, I'm coming to you for the next read. Ay, ay, ay. This is called She's Fine by Jessica C. Wheeler. So whenever you're ready.
All right. And let me go ahead, refresh, and here we go. She's Fine by Jessica C. Wheeler. We love our new home. It's almost as well manicured as the other moms that live on our street. I down a second, fourth cup of coffee before the five-minute walk to our neighborhood park. My kids adore the playground almost as much as I adore leaving it. We arrive greeted by a row of blinding teeth behind injected lips. I am as awkward as the torn Say Anything t-shirt I wear, dug up from my 10 years and two sizes ago. I attempt to wave and trip over a seesaw. An entrance almost as discreet as the lashes they stare through. I nod on silent autopilot, fitting in about as well as I fit in this outfit, waiting to engage in small talk that is sure to be as exhilarating as a paper cut, as delightful as a UTI, and I need another coffee almost as badly as I need to dye my roots. A young mother of three with a kind smile walks over. Her demeanor is almost as refreshing as the extra light and sweet she holds among a sea of triple venti, half-calf soy non-somethings. I attempt another wave as she approaches. Your girls are beautiful. How old are they? She asks sincerely. And I manage. Good. How are you? She's fine. End poem.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, great read, Pam. Great read. And, Robbie, I'm going to come to you first. Oh, my gosh.
No, this kind of has a feel of, like, kind of like slice of life, like urban life, and, you know, how coffee fits into your everyday life and the all the trials and tribulations of it. And what I was intensely curious about was where it said, like, it has the poem, She's Fine, and then it shows that really different looking picture where it's like someone on the phone with the iced cap, I guess, like iced coffee, and the, like, the screen mask and the glasses. And I'm guessing it's like kind of like, I'm thinking it's like kind of the insanity of urban life, sort of. And the ending there, like, that we all experience that, where, you know, we want to say, well, we're not fine, or things aren't fine, but you just say fine, because it's, at that moment it's less trouble, and you don't feel like going through the, well, why aren't you fine? Well, this is why I'm not fine. You know, you're just not up for that, right? And it just it seemed to, well, yeah, there's that one part, you know, exhilarating as a paper cut, as delightful as a UTI. But then there's one other part where I need another cup of coffee, like, I can't remember what they used as light, but it's kind of like that idea. It's like, well, I know I've already had another more than enough cups of coffee, and they're actually acknowledging that.
Right. Nice. Good comment, Robbie. I thought that this piece was intriguing. I don't mean that in a bad way. She gets into this image, and the image itself to me is like, wow, really? But there's some people like that out there, which scares me. But my kids adore the playground almost as much as I adore leaving it. We arrive, greeted by a row of blinding teeth behind injected lips. Okay, you know, I'm as awkward as a torn Say Anything t-shirt I wear, dug up from 10 years and two sizes ago. So I'm already laughing because, you know, this woman is totally different than the element in which she is hanging. And then when she gets down to, I nod on autopilot, fitting in about as well as I fit in this outfit, waiting to engage in small talk that is sure to be as exhilarating as a paper cut and as delightful as UTI. I there's something about this, it just, I think it really hits a lot of the notes of that image in an odd kind of way, you know? And I think that Jessica did a wonderful job with this. You know, I loved when, you know, the woman approaches and says, your girls are beautiful. How old are they? She asks sincerely, and I manage, good, how are you? She's fine. That's a totally wrong answer, but, you know, just tuning everything out, I guess. So nicely done, Jessica. And thanks for the share, and thanks for writing for the contest. Absolutely comical piece. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, this definitely cracked me up, and I found it very relatable. I love how she writes with a sense of humor about those awkward moments where we feel like we just don't quite fit in with the other moms, but then you find that new friend to bond over not only coffee, but the awkwardness that you feel. And, you know, waiting to engage in small talk that is sure to be as exhilarating as a paper cut, as delightful as a UTI. And, you know, those are great lines, as well as where she says, we arrived, greeted by a row of blinding teeth behind injected lips. I mean, oh my goodness, there's such a great bite to her sense of humor within this poem, and very well done.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was going to grab another piece, and I looked at the clock. We're like at the end, the end. So, Robbie, I want to thank you for calling in. Pam, I want to also thank you for co-hosting with me tonight. Naomi, I hope you feel better. I look forward to the three of us being back next Tuesday, as long as I'm not coughing my brains out. Try not to get hooked in that. I don't want to be in that loop.
This is for you, Pam, before I forget it. Chaboogie-wa.
I don't know. Any more lines than that, Robbie? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No. If you tell me that you're going to sing Prince's Cream when I sing, what I expect is not one or two lines. What I expect, Robbie, is for you to write a parody, fall into a Friday night and sing it. Nice try, though.
And just for the record, we have four carryovers: Spring Sky 39, Jack Snyder, Sea Glass, and Jody Mountain. So I'll have those on Friday night. And anyone who wants to listen, they'll be there. And in the meantime, as I said, thanks again. Thank you, everybody, for hanging on the boards. I want to thank you, Erin Panther and Quicken and Puddles. And who else was out there, Pam, because I'm lousy at that.
Oh, gosh. That's all I can remember. Yep. That was it.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
So maybe we had a little fun. And it worked out that way. We had some serious pieces. We had some fun pieces. And, that's the way I like it. I like it a little mixed up. So that way it's not all the same. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Pam. And I hope you all have a great Wednesday and Thursday. And maybe I'll get to see everybody on Friday. Have a great night. Thank you.
Good night, all.
Good night.